is a story. A story about an event. An event that changed our world. This story begins as most do, with a dream. And as the dream grew, so did the legends. Legends of larger than life giants. And warriors who brought the world to their feet. Legends of men made from iron. And others who braved ladders that reached the sky. Stories of the dead rising. And fearless leaders who are mightier than you could ever imagine. A place where fire touched the stars. And millions came together. All for one glorious night. And with these moments, frozen in time, the world wonders, what's next? Now, on this worldwide stage,
you ready?
In this modern day Colosseum,
let's go.
The journey begins.
For those of you that want to know what we're all about,
to immortality.
10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name.
Tonight, there will be kings and empires, revolutions. A beast will roar once more. Legacy will face a phenom. Through it all, a great one will rise again.
This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name.
Now, it's time for a new story.
Concentrated power of will,
a new chapter.
Pleasure, pain,
a new legend to begin.
Ladies and gentlemen, entering the podcast ring at this time, with a combined weight of 860 pounds, are the new tag team champions, the Super Size Guys. First, representing this week in geek and hailing from parts unknown, he is Mike the Birdman Dodd.
Somebody stop the damn match!
And his podcasting partner, representing the GeekCast Radio Network and hailing from the outer reaches of your mind, he is TFG1 Mike Blanchard. These two podcasting giants have joined forces in the World Podcasting Federation. This is Mayhem Mikes. And now, let's get ready to podcast.
And now, Snickers presents the greatest live event in entertainment, WrestleMania.
We're at Mayhem Mike's episode 10. We are 10 episodes in, and it took us 10 episodes 1 year between WrestleMania 31 and 32. We are here to talk about WrestleMania 32. I'm, of course, Steve Tune. Mike, joining me is Mike the Birdman Dodd. Hello.
Word up.
And Ryan the Uneven Flo Merkley. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. So, WrestleMania 32.
It certainly was a thing.
Yeah, it certainly was a thing. I don't know what kind of thing it was, but it was a thing. I've said this every episode we've ever done of this show. I do not watch the pre-show, so you guys can talk about the pre-show matches if you want.
Actually, the pre-show this year was really good.
Was it?
Well,
okay, maybe it wasn't.
Really good. You got to give it that. Although the Divas match was bullshit.
No. I mean, I don't know. Callisto Ryback was fine. I mean, it was basically it was another SmackDown match, though. I mean,
yeah,
it's a pay-per-view. I expect more than just like your standard kind of match, et cetera, et cetera. The Divas thing was terrible. I mean, nobody was expecting much from that, considering they had a number of non-wrestlers in it.
Yeah.
And Usos Dudley Boys, I mean, it was okay. And then we got almost the exact same match on Raw, so obviously it wasn't that big or that special a match, so.
Yeah, it should have been a lot more than what it was.
The main show opened way better.
Yeah. Which I would say this year's WrestleMania, it was very inconsistent with more than a few what the fuck moments.
Yeah. I mean, see I don't know. The main part of the show, I think starting off with the ladder match is great. The ladder match was interesting because it's not a lot of times you see some of these guys in ladder matches. Like, I mean, Kevin Owens, I mean, I know he's still kind of new, but this is not a match I would ever expect to see him in.
Yeah, he's wrestled a few, and then he wrestled one against Finn Balor on his way out of NXT as well.
Mm-hmm.
There are some good spots in it, though. I mean, Sami Zayn came off looking great, especially his dive through the ladder, and then he runs to the other side and dives, does his tornado DDT, there we go, through the ropes.
That was
nice. There was some good stuff for almost everybody. I really liked Owen's kind of heel move where he threw out the Dusty Rhodes ladder that Stardust had. Mm-hmm. Just like a good, like, cheap heel heat move to pick up the ladder and just throw it out.
Yeah.
I don't know. And Ryder winning is kind of nice. I mean, it was interesting. Yeah, and I mean, he's kind of due. Like, he's been at so many shows that he just wasn't used. He's certainly not terrible. I mean, he has talent, and he actually looked good on Raw as well afterwards. And, of course, then he loses.
That was such a kick in the face.
Yeah, I expect he's going to feud for it, or at least I hope that's what they do, and he gets it back, and they, you know, spend some time with him and maybe give Miz something to do at the same time. But, it was a little weird that, you know, one day later they take the belt off the poor guy.
Yeah, it was like basically giving him something and then, you know, it's like giving the kid an ice cream cone and then having somebody steal it.
Yeah,
it's
like, damn. Hey, take this home, keep it warm for us, and now we want it back. That sucked. I was so mad at that.
Everybody had some good stuff in the match, though. You know, Stardust and Sin Cara had the good spot, like basically being with Stardust being driven through the ladder. Owens had a really nice frog splash onto Zayn onto a ladder.
Yeah.
What? Now, if I'm not mistaken, Sin Cara was in this match, right?
Yes.
What was with that friggin' outfit?
I don't know.
Like the friggin' Tick. Or sorry, not the Tick. You look like Arthur from the friggin' Tick.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
I don't remember him getting in anything good, though.
I just mentioned he drove Stardust through the ladder. As in, like, breaking through the ladder on the outside. Yeah. That was pretty nice. I don't know. Like I say, everybody kind of had a moment. I'd argue Sin Cara and Ziggler kind of had the least to do.
Yeah.
Owens was probably the most active, followed by Zayn, which is kind of to be expected.
Well, I would hope that Owens would be the most active, seeing as how he was the champion.
I'd argue, third was probably Miz, and then fourth we kind of had Ryder.
Yeah. I'm surprised Miz didn't do more of his stunts that he's done in the past few months of, like, there was one Raw or SmackDown or one of the shows I saw where he basically just came out and, It was one of those matches where it's like every man for himself. I don't think it was a ladder match. I don't remember. It was something where he just came out and sat down with the announce team.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, so I mean, I was kind of expecting Miz to do something like that with this, but I'm really glad that he just kind of went for it with this thing. Because as much as I like the Miz at certain times, I'm kind of getting sick of the whole Hollywood thing.
Yeah, he kind of needs to change it up a little. Maybe he will in the feud with Ryder. But yeah, I mean, this was a good match to start the show. Everybody had something to do. The one question I kind of have, almost everybody appeared on Raw, so I guess they were okay. But I had a hard time following whether or not some of the injuries in this were legit, because some of the spots or some of the way guys fell, that kind of thing, I really worried about whether or not they were actually hurt, especially by the end of the match. Seemed like everybody was kind of banged up. And, you know, to be expected for a ladder match, I just don't want to see anybody actually injured.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, no. Injuries for storyline is fine, but an actual... Actually getting hurt is not a good thing, especially since we've talked about the last 4 months of this year at this point. We've talked about all the injuries that WWE has.
Yeah, I was happy, we saw some returns in this, and then we saw a pretty major immediate into almost the main event return on Raw, which was nice. So at least they're getting a little healthier.
Yep. After that, we had Jericho versus Styles.
Surprising ending.
Yeah.
I love Jericho. It's not that I wanted to see him lose or anything. It's just one of these guys is going to be around full time for a while, and the other one is Chris Jericho.
Well, yeah, but hey, AJ just got here, so I don't think he's...
Yeah,
you know,
well, and to be fair, on Raw, they're planning big things for him, so...
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, since he's the number one contender, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about Raw after in a little bit. But yeah, so we had Jericho versus Styles. I think what's cool with these guys, with these two's feuding, is the constant mic back and forth between the two of them.
I see Styles, like, actually do stuff, the more I'm a huge fan of him.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. I really like his stuff. He's so much... I hate to use the phrase because it gets overused on Raw. Fun to watch, but god damn, he's... I like this. I love this guy.
He doesn't get enough credit for his mic work. I mean, he's solid. He's not amazing. You know, he's not a Chris Jericho or something, but he's doing enough to hold his own with a guy like Jericho, who is amazing on the mic. I mean, Jericho actually managed to pull some, at least a little bit of booze away from Reigns the next night, although it turned quick, because, I mean, the crowd started chanting, "We are idiots," with Jericho, which was pretty funny. But anyway, that's next night. So this night, I mean, another solid match. For some reason, in terms of the wrestling, these two just don't seem to click 100% yet, which is really weird because they're both ridiculously talented. But it was still a really solid match and enjoyable. Like, it still continued the trend of this was a good couple openers.
Yep.
What I'll say for watching Styles Jericho is when I first started watching them, their matches seemed really slow and kind of plodding. The matches have gotten progressively faster, like they're more smooth. Mm-hmm. And I think this is probably one of the best they've had so far.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think they would have had this WrestleMania match if they hadn't planned it to be one of the best to this point. And then we get to the mediocrity with the League of Nations and the New Day.
To be fair with this one, it depends on where you include the post-match stuff, because that kind of brings it up.
And trust me when I say this. There are no three men in history who could ever go toe-to-toe with this unit. I mean, just look at us. Some of the meanest, toughest, baddest...
But yeah, the actual match, I mean,
I remember nothing about it.
The New Day had a good intro. I mean, I think that was memorable.
Yeah.
The match is forgettable.
The only awesome thing about this match, not even the ending of the actual match, but the ending events after the match, because you basically had the New Day, like, outside the ring, like on the floor somewhere, and you had the League of Nations in there and Barrett trying to come up and say, no one can take down us, or no one can do this, no four-man team, whatever else. And then you enter HBK, Stone Cold, and Cactus Jack.
Were they now, just there for fun, or like, what was the point of that?
They were there for fun. I mean, they were. It was known all of them were. Well, it was known at the very least Austin was going to show up. I mean, he was there for everything, so it was pretty obvious. Plus, you know, hometown, et cetera, et cetera. I think it was just there to because it's a WrestleMania. I mean, in the past, Hogan and others always show up. You know, The Rock shows up for every WrestleMania. I don't have an issue.
They
got
to fill the 4 hours somehow. I don't have an issue with it either. But I just thought it was great. You know,
it
having
was cool
HBK.
See them all fight again.
Yeah. Now, Ryan, you said something in our, or was it Mike? I forget. One of you guys said something in our Facebook chat about Nick. What was the deal with what was it, Socko? Was that what you were talking about?
No, that wasn't me.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Was that what you were talking about? Where you said something about you thought Vince said he couldn't do something anymore?
Oh no! That's much later. Vince had told Foley. And famously some others to not jump off of the cage again. And then promptly we see Shane do it. That's what I was, we'll get to that.
Oh,
later.
Okay. I thought it was something specifically with Foley and Austin and okay.
Although he probably doesn't want any of those guys jumping off the cage either right now. Yeah. League of Nations wins, by the way, we should probably mention that in a pretty forgettable actual match.
Yeah,
and then we have stuff with them on Monday.
I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Every time that glass shatters, I know Stone Cold's essentially retired, but he's still doing stuff with the company. Also, he obviously has his podcast. But anytime he shows up, I just absolutely cannot get enough of it. It's just awesome. So then we have the no holds barred street fight between Brock and Dean. Dean held his own.
It made him look really great. I really was hoping he'd win, though. But yeah. I was still entertained, though.
Yeah, another match that I'm not sure I agree with it, because it's pretty clear that Lesnar's not sticking around full-time or anything.
Yeah, like, they flew him back home as soon as that segment was over.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, the match was all right. It wasn't as good, to be honest, as I was hoping for.
Right.
Like, it was solid. Just there were better matches earlier.
Yeah.
Which is surprising, because I figured this was one that had a shot at being one of the better matches on the card. There wasn't a lot of stuff used. There wasn't a lot of new things. Like, Lesnar very much hit the same moves we're kind of used to, and yeah. Dean didn't use anything or do anything really out of the ordinary or crazy, which maybe it's just because of the character, but I was kind of expecting.
I don't think it's because of the character. I think it's because Brock didn't give him a chance to. Like, I was really expecting him to, like, cut the ropes with the chainsaw or something, or, you know, I was expecting something with that chainsaw since they did that little ad about the thing.
My guess is it was too much of a risk in case something went wrong.
Well, yeah, I don't think he can use a chainsaw in a wrestling ring. That would be, I don't think The Rock is allowed to take the flamethrower and use it in a match either.
Now, like, that would have been awesome.
He wouldn't have a terrible WrestleMania record if he had used that in his matches.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I like the match. I'm hoping that, obviously, you know, Dean does more stuff in the future. Obviously, he's another one of those guys that is still kind of, he's been around for a while, but he's still new enough to where he still has his rise, and I'm sure he's going to get a championship shot eventually. And then we had the Hall of Fame class presentation.
I love The Godfather.
No shockers. Well, I probably wouldn't have put him in the Hall of Fame, though. I mean,
that's a kind of surprise.
Yeah, I mean, at best, he was a mid-card kind of guy. That was a little weird. Sting was great. I'd watched the Hall of Fame the night before. Sting was pretty solid. The highlight of the night were, if anyone out there has the network and gets a chance, you need to watch the Freebirds induction and all of their stories.
Yeah,
they were
amazing. Awesome.
Like, they showed really brief clips of them, but I mean, the full things, Michael Hayes in particular, unsurprisingly, is just a great storyteller. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Would you say that, because I, you know, and we'll talk about Raw as well, but, you know, I watched the Raw from after WrestleMania. It was the first time, as I've said before, I haven't had time to dedicate to NXT yet, so it was the first time I saw Enzo and Cass. Would you say Enzo is a little bit like Michael Hayes?
Well, if you saw you would have seen Enzo and Cass at Roadblock, because that's where they made their WWE debut.
Yeah,
but anyway.
I don't remember Enzo being that much on mic as he was on Raw, though.
I mean, they always do their intro, which, by the way, is wonderful. For some reason, I never get tired of it. But anyway.
that's what made me a fan of them, was that ridiculous intro.
Yeah, Enzo's always had really good energy, but it's the last little bit. Like, since the call-up, he's really kind of starting to put that together, which is impressive. So, yeah, that's kind of neat. He has ridiculous energy, and it seems to really help Cass, because a year and a half ago, he was so shy. Like, you would not believe the progress he's made. I don't think you would have guessed he'd ever be any type of a star or a long-term kind of wrestler, however you want to word it. Like, I don't think you would have predicted he'd make the main roster, to be honest. He was just too shy and that kind of thing. But Enzo's rubbing off on him, and he's rubbing off on him more and more. They've been good together. Hopefully, you know, maybe someday Cass gets a singles push. Enzo, by the way, in real life, is actually much older than Cass. That's why I say at some point they're probably going to have to be split up. But,
you know, the funny thing is, they remind me, and I know this is probably going to be blasphemy to a lot of people, they kind of remind me of Jesse and Festus. Just the contrast of how they both look and how their characters are supposed to be. Okay, then we have the women's championship match, which was a great match until Flair stuck his flair in there.
Yeah, they kind of marred the finish. It was an outstanding match, and by the way, I was really happy.
I'd argue that was the best match on the card.
I'd easily say it was, even with the cruddy finish. But on the, you know, I'm happy for the women. A, they got the "This is Wrestling" chant, which I agree with. They were fantastic. B, they finally get it, the division renamed back to the women's division, and they get a real title instead of that stupid pink toy.
Yep.
That finish bugged me so much.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, man, this is going to be awesome. Like, you got back-to-back bank statements. It looks so good. And then up yours, Ric Flair.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd say it's pretty obvious that at some point soon, Sasha's going to win the belt. But Lynch did a really good job and continues kind of like holding her own. She's really over, which is impressive and nice for her.
Shots to the face. I'm pretty sure she's got a legit black eye.
Yeah, she had a shiner on Raw.
She is tough as shit. My God.
Yeah. Each of these women are. It's a really good division. And the NXT, the ones who aren't up yet, too, are ridiculously talented. Like, this group is only going to get better. Yeah, Asuka's fantastic. And, you know, Bayley's probably the best women's wrestler running right now. Her progression has been astounding. It's funny because...
Ryan, go ahead.
Well, it's just funny that, you know, you had the five diva match at the start. There's not room for a lot of these people. Like, there's so many good ones in NXT to come up, and so many that are progressing a lot quicker than some of the ones that were in that divas match. They're not going to have room for all of them.
Like, looking at the divas roster, the women's roster now.
Yeah, I got to stop doing that too.
You could almost divide them into divas because they're pretty and athletic, but they're not fighters. And if you put up, you know, say, let's say you take Brie Bella, although she's done now, against a Sasha, she'll tear them apart.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even someone like Alicia Fox, she used to be able to fight, and I think she's lost her edge.
Yeah, her matches are not good at this point.
And
I mean, out of the 10 women at the start, the only ones that can wrestle now are Naomi, Emma, Paige, and Natalya.
Yeah, but say
that's four out of 10.
Everybody else, garbage.
Yeah, everybody else, I don't think there's room for them on the roster. Although, by the way, give Eva Marie credit. she heard all the booing and everything and found a great way to actually run with it. It's something I wish Reigns would do to a certain extent, or at least somewhat, you know, embrace it some. And Eva Marie did that for the first time I can remember seeing. That was smart. Mm. Like, if she does that more often...
Maybe she'll get over eventually?
I don't know, but it's a sign that she's learning.
But that crowd hated her. Like, you
could feel
the venom dripping. Actually, you know what's funny? Me and Mike actually got into it with someone on Twitter. Over this, actually.
I don't even remember this.
Well, I was talking about how I'm like, is it just me, or are they fucking up more so than often on this? Or, you know, are there more fuck-ups than usual? And I'm like, Eva Marie's terrible. She's had 2 or 3 years of training now, and, you know, like, evidently she's only been wrestling since mid-2015. I'm like, and I've been watching Total Divas, and I'm pretty sure she's been doing it longer than that.
Yeah.
And the guy we were talking with is 8-Bit Eric. He's associated with the Game Chasers, and he actually is a wrestler himself. He performs down in, I want to say, Dallas or Austin or something like that. So he knows what he's talking about, and he's like, we need to give her a bit of a break. I'm like, I don't know, man. I think Eva Marie, I want to like her, because, let's be honest, I think with the other head, she's pretty. She really is. And she's got a great look. But you can't sell a wrestler on just a look. I mean, well, not to be entertained.
That's
by
why they put her back down. That's why they put her off the main roster initially, to put her back in NXT, to put her back down at developmental, to get her trained. And she's needed those 2 years. Really, what I think is hurting her has nothing to do with the fact that she is or is not training. It's the fact that you have the, like, if they're going to change the Divas division back to the women's division, I know Mike's going to hate me for saying this, but get rid of that show. Get rid of Total Divas, or turn it into something that is like Breaking Ground, where they show you the behind-the-scenes stuff. They show you the training. They take...
Yeah, kind of, it kind of makes a mockery of the actual wrestling is the problem.
Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. It's like, take the soap opera stuff out of Total Divas, and... The only reason why I ever watched that show in the first place was to see the behind-the-scenes stuff for WWE. I did not watch that show because of any of his armor.
I wanted to know more about Natalya, the Usos, and Daniel mm-hmm. Bryan. I watched it mostly for Daniel Bryan, truthfully. And now that the Bellas are done, supposedly they're going to stay cast members, and at which point I'm asking why.
Yeah, why?
Because of John Cena, because him with Nikki Bella, but I think, it hurts the division because it makes Natalya looks like a crazy cat person.
She is a crazy cat in real life.
We don't know that, though, because, I mean, that show is so scripted.
Yeah, I know.
It paints her in not a very flattering light, I think. Even Paige comes off as this monumental bitch, but once again, it could be just how they're written. I want to see, like, if we could get matches equivalent to this or what we saw on, like, NXT TakeOver. I love the women's division. I think you'll see more nights on Raw where that's the main event.
Well, they can do that with the people they've got now. The issue is the others. And to the other, fellow's point about Eva Marie, it's well known that, for a good couple of years, she's been with the company for quite some time. It's well known behind the scenes and everywhere else. Everybody's kind of commented on it in different places. She hasn't worked at all at training or getting better until recently. I applaud the fact she's now trying to improve. And I applaud the fact that clearly, she's learned something based on last night. And she has had... She was in a decent match with Bayley. Although having said that, I could probably get a decent match with Bayley as well. She's ridiculously good at helping her opponents. But I don't want to say it's too little too late. Everybody should have the chance to better themselves. But she's squandered quite a bit of time. And to be honest, an awful lot of people have passed her on this roster. If she had hiked up and started working the way she is now a couple of years ago, there wasn't nearly as much to compete with talent-wise. Now there's all these people that are way ahead.
Yep. I mean, hell, JoJo has a better career than Eva Marie at this point, and JoJo...
is just on mic, yeah.
Yeah.
and that's the thing, though. I don't know whether Eva Marie could even handle being backstage. Because I don't think she has the charisma. She's not as quick-witted, from what I see, as Renee Young, for example, who's a very good interviewer. She knows how to kind of play with the flow of an interview or how to react to something, and that's a skill of presentation. Eva Marie looks the part, but looks are not enough to carry you when you have to open your damn mouth.
I really don't want to say this. I really don't want to disparage Eva Marie, but she's essentially the eye candy of the WWE. She was on the Fastlane thing with the Fastlane introduction thing, but like, she's just there for posters and for promotional stuff and for model stuff. It's very sad because the whole point of, because initially, wasn't she and JoJo?
They were the breakouts in Total Divas in the first season. They wanted to really kind of make it here. And look at everybody else in the women's division who really genuinely tries. Fuck Eva Marie. I want to know more about Asuka. Tell me Bayley's story. stuff like that. Give me these people. Hell, I want to know more about Sasha Banks. Man, I wish she was a part of Total Divas, and only because I want to know. Only reason is I want to know more about her.
Then watch her on Breaking Ground. It just takes too much away from everything. Yeah.
But I guess the reason I say I want to see her on Total Divas is because they put money into that. Breaking Ground is on the network, and I don't know whether they'll get put on USA again.
So that's fine, but I think more people watch Breaking Ground at this point than Total Divas. I mean, their ratings are horrendous.
But you also want the cross-spectrum appeal. You know what I mean? Like, from, like, advertising money-wise. But we could talk about this at, like...
Yeah.
Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker.
Yes, up next, Hell in a Cell.
Oh my god. Entertaining, but fucking dangerous.
There
were so many people that were outraged. Like, Shane, this could have very easily went wrong.
Yeah, I agree. Like, there was no reason for it. First of all, it wasn't a good match, period. You know, sorry, but one spot doesn't fix things. I mean, the first 10 minutes were incredibly slow. Shane McMahon is so limited. Like, this was a terrible match from him. I mean, all he could do were punches, and then his submissions were awful.
Yeah, the whole...
Like, he couldn't do a Hell's... The Hell's Gate wasn't even close to correct. His sharpshooter was terrible. I mean, I've held my cat in more painful-looking positions than that. Like, he was not... This was kind of ugly. And Undertaker, I mean, he didn't come off this looking good either, but part of that is a very limited moveset and limited opponent. This was weird, because... It was kind of everything I feared, that they'd try for a couple spots, and that was about all they could really fully do with these two guys at this point in their respective careers.
Mm. So, one thing about The Undertaker.
Who won, by the way?
Yes. Vince said if Taker didn't win, this will be his last WrestleMania. Hell, for the last 5 WrestleManias, I thought each one would be Undertaker's last WrestleMania. They find a new challenge for him every year, regardless of whether it's a good challenge or not. They find him a new challenge so he can appear every year at WrestleMania, no matter what. The only way he's ever not going to be at WrestleMania is if he gets injured to the point where he cannot perform anymore.
Well, supposedly...
Or he gets so old to the point where he can't stand straight.
Well, supposedly last night... backstage, according to some of the dirt sheets, he's like, "Yeah, guys, this is it. I'm actually done now." I guess we'll find out next March or April.
Yeah, we'll see.
The other problem with this match was it was pointless in the end. I mean,
because
Undertaker wins, so in theory he continues on, and then Vince gives Shane control of Raw anyway.
What the hell?
Yeah, before we get to Raw, my last note in this match that I wrote down, I was like, well, Raw, I guess, is going to stay mediocre then. Because don't get me wrong, Raw has had some really great matches over the last few months and everything else, but I'm just so sick of the storyline of the Authority. That's what I wanted to change, and that's what I thought Shane...
Which is why last night was a big improvement to me, but anyway.
Right. Yeah, no, it absolutely was. So after this, we had the Andre the Giant Battle Royal Memorial thing.
Bad.
The Jobber Royale.
Bad.
The Jobber Royale.
This was not good. It had the right finish in terms of getting somebody new, in this case Baron Corbin. An immediate kind of shot and a push straight off the NXT roster, but this was not good. I mean, there were so few highlights. It was nice to see DDP there, who, by the way, looks amazing for 60 years old. And that's about it. I mean, Tatanka was there, Shaq was there, like, whatever.
What the fuck was the point of the Shaq thing? Can someone explain that to me?
He's a celebrity.
Yay!
He's a big wrestling fan.
I'm Shaq. Can I fight? Sure.
All right. So since we're talking about celebrities really quickly, you know, you ask what is the point of Shaq being in there, and Ryan says he's a celebrity. What is the point of every celebrity that's ever been on any WWE event even being in the Hall of Fame? You know what I mean? It's just what WWE does.
Actually, I want to talk about that for a second. When Snoop Dogg came out and rapped over Sasha Banks' intro, that was friggin' cool. I was so into that.
Well, they're related, so it was a neat moment for her as well.
I was just thinking, Shaq, what the hell?
Yeah, and he wasn't advertised or anything, which makes me kind of question, you know, it's kind of neat to have surprises.
Yeah.
He probably just called up Vince, hey, man, I'm in Dallas anyway. Can I come?
Yeah, it's neat to have surprises, but it just was kind of weird.
Yeah, it's a surprise that should mean something in some meaningful way. I don't know.
And then the Brahma Bull, The Rock, defeats Eric Rowan in 6 seconds.
Yeah, way to push the Wyatts. They're really making them look good.
Yep, they're really going somewhere.
He gets beat up. Now, the only thing is, apparently The Rock requested working with Bray, which is a nice thing to do. B, he did, you know, comment at the start that, you know, you have the charisma, you've got the talent. That was a nice little rub. But then kicking the crap out of, you know, Rowan in 6 seconds, and then beating up the Wyatts with the help of some guy who returned briefly.
No. You can't just gloss over that. Come on.
No, I just didn't want to mention it now. So anyway, okay. I'm just back to the Wyatts. I don't know what it does for them, and they did a better job of making them look tough and making them a threat again on Raw, but this just came off kind of weird. For the Wyatts.
Yeah, but the Rock stuff for me came off as weird. Like, don't get me wrong, the Rock is great on the mic. The Rock obviously has the moves in the ring. He's been doing this for years and years and years now. The whole flamethrower thing just came off really, really strange to me.
I thought it was kind of weird too, but...
Okay. It came off like a long, drawn-out Bray Wyatt speech without the Rock even actually having to say anything. I mean...
We thought it was a t-shirt cannon at first, actually.
I was hoping it would have been a t-shirt cannon, and that would have been even better. So Rock, you know, beats Eric Rowan in 6 seconds, breaks another WrestleMania record. He talks about the attendance. The Wyatts all come down and come in. Well, I should say...
Three out of the four.
Do we really need four people for the Wyatt family? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure. What is his name? God, I don't even remember. Yeah, yeah.
Braun Strowman.
Yeah, I'm sure Luke Harper or Eric Rowan. You know, they were the two originals with Bray, which is fine. Is Luke injured?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We talked about that last time. He broke his leg.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so you know. Honestly, I think the Wyatt family, the storyline or the concept of the Wyatt family works better as a trio than a foursome.
Well, luckily, with the rate of injuries, it'll always be a trio, apparently.
I think part of the problem with the Wyatts, and it's no secret that I love the Wyatt family, it's you have to have the right amount of charisma with them. When you play Eric off as the strong, silent dude in the mask, that's great. Harper can talk somewhat. Strowman doesn't seem to fit. He's just, I am there. Muscle. I am the abomination.
That's what I thought. Where Luke is off recuperating, Eric could be like develop Eric Rowan into being not the mic person that Bray is, but at least have something there, and then Strowman could take over the strong silent type.
I liked Rowan when they turned him into a good guy.
I did too.
I did too. But he never did anything with it. Like, I don't know whether it was lack of charisma. Was he not confident with it? But I liked it, and it never went anywhere.
No. So what Ryan referred to earlier,
alluded to, yeah.
Yeah. We have the return of the face of the company, John Cena, to come in and shake The Rock's hand.
Yeah.
Well, he helped him beat up the Wyatts, too.
Well, yeah, but I mean, essentially, the rest of that is them just, you know, congratulating each other, patting each other.
Yeah, he's not even close to returning full-time, apparently. May is the minimum that's been reported, but he could be gone till July still.
Mm. It wouldn't be. See, everyone that showed up in WrestleMania 32 for me, like all the surprises, because like I've told you guys this before, unless it's said on Raw or SmackDown, I don't really pay too much attention to the announcements as far as who's going to be at what pay-per-view. Like, hearing Stone Cold come out was a real surprise for me. Obviously, I shouldn't have been, since it was in Dallas, it's his hometown, and it's WrestleMania. You can't really have a WrestleMania without Stone Cold and HBK somewhere in there. Same thing with Mick Foley. And honestly, the same thing with John Cena. I mean, like, he...
It was expected, but it was not.
What is it now? It's he debuted in 2002. It's, you know, what is it, almost 14 years that he's been in the company now? Yeah, something like that. So it was nice to see John come out, even though if it was only for that one appearance. And then we get to the Roman Empire versus Game of Thrones. Great.
Wow, you've clearly never watched any of Game of Thrones. Anyway, holy shit. Talk about, like...
What I'm saying is...
You know it less than you know...
Chris Jericho?
Than Chris Jericho knows it. Because, man, every time Jericho said that, I got so angry because I thought, man, you've obviously never watched a second of the show or read any books there, Chris, because that's not even close to any of it, so...
Yeah, like, what the hell was with this introduction with Triple H and Stephanie? I was like,
Really? I thought it was kind of neat, but my biggest issue with it is it made Hunter look like the big, tough, unbeatable badass. And normally that's fine. The problem is you've got your other guy who's getting booed out of the arena, and you're supposed to be making him look good and putting him over. And here you've got Hunter who's taking the spotlight away.
Okay, so before I realized, because Ryan, you're right, I don't watch Game of Thrones, I don't pay for HBO, I've never seen it, I have zero interest, I don't dislike the show, but I groan at WWE trying to do a playoff of it, and honestly, the first thing I thought of when I saw Triple H was, oh my god, it's fucking Shao Kahn from Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Well, at least it wasn't a silver Terminator this year.
Yeah, the Terminator thing was way worse.
Although, why did Stephanie McMahon look like a discount Rita Repulsa? After 10,000 years, I'm free! Like, what the hell was that?
I now want her to say that.
Jesus.
So, we've got Roman versus Hunter. The match was okay.
It just wasn't anything special again. I mean, same issue as I have with some of these matches. Yeah. I mean, the Ambrose match was better. And I mean, man, and zero props to WWE for so blatantly turning the microphones off at certain points. Because, man, they tried their hardest to not make it seem like Roman was getting booed out the building. My favorite was the, at one point, one of the announcers said, like, the Raw the next night, one of the announcers said, like, well, you know, this is an odd crowd. They're booing for guys who normally get cheered. And they were booing Reigns out the building. And I thought, have you guys not been paying attention? Because he's been getting booed out the building. Like, I feel so bad for the guy, and I do think he will get there. It's just there are guys that are probably more deserving right now, and I think the people see that he has talent, he has the charisma, and he is going to be a star.
He'll be big, just play the long game with him.
He needs more development. Here's the thing. You go back, what is it now, 2 years since the Shield debuted?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, so, no, I thought it was 24. Anyway, so when the Shield initially debuted, you mainly had Seth and Dean on mic for the most part. And we all know, regardless of how I feel of storyline with Seth's character, the guy does an excellent job both on mic and in the ring. And I think that Roman needs to, I think everybody would agree with me when I say this, Roman needs to develop his mic technique for the most part.
Yeah.
They need to find a shtick for him. They need to find a gimmick for him that works, because the believe that stuff just doesn't...
It comes off as so disingenuously goofy.
Yeah, it does.
Well, same with, now, I mean, they tried to give him the suffer and succotash, which...
Oh, my...
Oh.
But, I mean, they were trying to give him a sense of humor, but it came off as so ridiculously goofy, it pretty much destroyed anything his character kind of had for a good chunk of time.
At least three or four months, because that's all I could think about was suffer and succotash, son.
Yeah, that was a disaster.
Like, what asshole wrote that?
And then you look at Dean. Dean has a, shall we say, quite unorthodox style. He's not a traditional floor matter high flyer. He has his own style that works for him, and he's damn good on the mic.
The three of them have had completely different trajectories. They had Roman, who, you know, has kind of, and, you know, I don't knock him. This is not his fault. But he's kind of had everything handed to him. You had Seth Rollins, who basically from the start, just ridiculous talent that they could not even deny. So, you know, they threw the belt and everything on him. And then you've got Ambrose, or Dean Ambrose, who basically worked for like every inch and everything he's gotten so far and had to work harder than I think everybody else to get where he is. And it's the three of them, it's just been a completely different career for each of them so far to date. And yeah, I mean, and for fun, by the way, you know, look up some of the videos online or, you know, track down some of the comments about how loud the booing was. Yeah, I feel for the guy.
I had friends of mine that were there last night, because it was in Dallas, and they're like, it was deafening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and that's,
I don't know.
Like, WWE has got to start listening to the fans, I think. With this.
To a certain extent, I think, you know, you still need to do things that are out of the ordinary, or, you know, you still need to do different stuff. But yeah, you kind of, I don't know, you've got to find, they have to find a middle ground, at least with the championship, because they're doing better with other stuff, as we'll get to if we talk about Raw.
Yeah, we are going to talk about Raw quickly.
Quick final question, though, for everybody.
Yeah.
And sorry to cut you off. Just, I don't know, if you had to grade it, you know, or rate it or something. I kind of want to just, I'm just going to go 3.5 out of 5. I don't think it was bad or anything. There were some good matches. There were some neat spectacles, like seeing Austin, HBK, and Mick Foley in the same ring again was an absolute blast, I think, for everybody.
And Cena was a complete surprise for
me. Yeah, and it was nice. Like, he was, I think he was welcome back, and I think the fans were happy to see him back. Even the ones who were booing, I thought it felt more like, hey, this is what we used to do, than we actually are sick of this guy and don't want to see him. So, yeah, overall, like, the spectacle and stuff was good. The negatives were, some of the matches weren't great. The world title match was just meh, and then ended on a real down note, to be blunt. They should have tried some sort of interesting turn or swerve or something different.
See, I think they're doing that now, and we'll talk about that.
They are
Raw,
now,
but
this was WrestleMania. You got to do something for it. And then finally, the event was too damn long.
Yeah,
6 hours with the pre-show. Ugh.
Oh yeah, but yeah, well, I looked at that and I'm like,
long. I wasn't sure.
Like, when I was, by the time I got to the point where Shane jumped off the cage, I looked at it and I'm like, oh my God, this is a 4-hour event. How are they going to fill the rest of this time? You know?
I'm serious. I agree
by
the way. I thought it was flying, and then they absolutely, you know, went to a crawl.
Well, like I said last episode when we talked about our predictions and kind of caught up on Raw and whatever else, it's like that Raw right before WrestleMania where I thought the show of Monday Night Raw should have ended on Undertaker and Shane. It then cut to the Dudley boys assaulting Roman Reigns, and I'm like, this just goes downhill. What the hell? Like, seriously. For me, only because of Austin and Cena and Foley, only because of the returning people, and the women's match was a good match, but the ending, get Ric Flair the fuck out of there. Put him in the back. Do something else with it. Like, I understand she's his daughter,
But Jesus Christ, if every one of her matches is going to come down to her father interfering for her, that takes away from her ability to win a damn match.
I agree 100%. So, just wanted to add
for
that.
For me, I got to give it a 2.5. I can't give it anything higher than that because overall, I'm so glad we live in an era now where we have the WWE Network where people can pay $9.99 and get these things.
Yeah, that instead ain't worth $60, that's for sure.
No, that's, yeah, that's $60, $70, you know, on pay-per-view. No. All right, so the only other thing I want to say about WrestleMania, and I could be wrong about this, Ryan, you can correct me if I'm wrong, you obviously will. It's been, all right, we're at 32. The last time I remember this happening in a WrestleMania was when they had WrestleMania 24. It was an outdoor arena, or it was an arena with a roof, with the roof open.
Actually, no. 2 years ago when Seth Rollins... Well, sorry, that was last year, actually.
It was last year? Okay,
Seth Rollins won the title.
Yeah, that's true. It was last year. Okay, so... I guess WrestleMania 31, I've completely...
Remember we went from day to night as it went on.
Yeah, as Roman and Brock. Yeah, that's right.
And it kind of hurt Undertaker's match to have him out during the day. It felt kind of weird. No, I'm serious. Like, during the... Especially since it was against Bray. Like,
yeah, that's
talk
true.
About two guys who generally fight in the dark. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. Outside of the Undertaker Shane match, I really wanted, and I don't care if it's called AT&T Stadium now, it'll always be Texas Stadium to me. I really wanted the roof to be open for this WrestleMania because I thought it would have been much better.
Well, I think it was hot as shit, so I kind of think that's why they didn't.
Yeah, probably. All right, so the Monday after WrestleMania is Raw. Now, Ryan watches the thing live. I don't know
sometimes,
how you watch
yeah.
I was
let's not discuss that too much.
You know, no, I don't mean. Oh, God, Ryan, you're such an ass.
Why? I do watch it live. Anyway.
I obviously catch it up on Hulu, and I could have sworn in the past Hulu showed all 3 hours.
No, they show an hour and a half version.
Oh, I could have. Oh, God, I thought I was going crazy watching Raw after WrestleMania. I'm like, wait, this is an hour and 29 minutes?
Yeah, they always cut a lot of the filler. Huh. They cut down a lot of the segments.
Not to mention, there's always a ton of commercials.
Yeah.
Okay, well, cutting out commercials I could see, but, you know, I mean, I could have... I'm just saying, I could have sworn the Raw I watched before this past one that it was the full... 2.5, 3 hours. Whatever.
I can give you the Cole's notes of everything that happened really quick. So, I mean, we had Ryback and Kalisto had another match. Kalisto, or sorry, I'm looking at WrestleMania again. Jesus, man, I'm like, man, I don't remember this. What the hell? All right. So anyway, Vince gives Shane control of Raw. It's just for the one night, but hey, it still, I don't know, renders the match the night before a little weird. So anyway, they started off with Sheamus and King Barrett versus The New Day. The New Day won. Barrett in what is probably his last moment on TV, and makes me really kind of sad. They lose the match, and then Sheamus and Co. blame Barrett for it, and Sheamus lays him out with a brogue kick, and then they shove him, you know, his like unconscious corpse out of the ring. So that was kind of a sad end for his WWE career, probably. Anyway, then the Wyatt lights go out. The Wyatts jump them and beat the crap out of the league of jobbers.
Yeah.
And by the way, the crowd, as usual, post WrestleMania was wonderful, and they were chanting "Thank you, Bray, for interrupting Sheamus." So that was nice. Anyway,
is it just me or is his mohawk grown out more?
I don't know. I do not like the League of Nations gimmick, and there are rumors that they're throwing Owens into it, which would really make me sad.
I hope not.
Owens is a single guy. He's also been portrayed as too big of a jerk to tag with anybody because he always just leaves as soon as he feels like it. He'd be a terrible teammate.
And isn't his path at this point eventually going to be feuding with Sammy?
Yeah, that's what it seems like. I think that's where they're going to go now. I think the stuff where he's on the road teaming with the League, I think that's temporary. At least I hope it is. And
I hope that's just like house shows and not...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking slash hoping.
I'm sorry. Even if you're going to kick a member out of the League of Nations, like, you know, like what they did with Barrett... You can't, like you said and like I said, you can't put Owens in there. He's not. He's a singles guy. Yeah. He's not a team player. He's just not. Yeah,
and to be blunt, Owens is eventually going to, I honestly believe, he's going to be close to Austin-level popularity someday. But he's quite a ways off from it. He needs some work, needs to be booked quite a bit, needs some good feuds. But, yeah, his trajectory is moving straight up. League of Nations is just a group of guy jobbers who got put together. And I hate to call Del Rio. They all have talent. Rusev especially. I mean, he was the most hated guy in the company. And then at post, you know, the Cena stuff, he got completely buried, which thanks for that. Speaking of that feud, by the way, up next we had Summer Rae versus Sasha Banks, which was completely pointless. Because, of course, Sasha Banks won, because she can actually wrestle. I mean, what the hell is the point of this? And was what I was talking about earlier. There's not room for all of the women anymore, unfortunately. There's too many talented ones versus...
Anybody who looks like a legit model are the ones who probably have no place in the division now.
Yeah, well, unless they can actually wrestle.
Yeah, unless they can actually fight, and that means people like Summer Rae, Eva Marie, Cameron, because supposedly Lana, she is a true athlete because she has a huge dance background.
She'll need a ton of training though. While she's training, the other women are already so far ahead of her that I don't know.
But she can train with kind of Rusev too, because they're a couple, so.
They're married.
Yeah, so there's no...
Rusev's not exactly lighting the stage on fire lately, although part of that's being paired with those... Anyway, Sasha Banks wins in a pretty quick squash. Next, we get the debut of NXT star Apollo Crews. This was his Raw debut. He gets to squash Tyler Breeze, who... Smart idea, by the way.
Another guy who got buried.
Yeah, but I mean, smart idea, because Breeze is a guy who he worked with quite a bit, so they managed to make everything look good, and they've worked, you know, together. Crews always looks good. He's impressive. I think he will do well in the company. He needs to keep working on personality and stuff. So, yeah, they finished that. Next, we get to a wonderful segment. First of all, Reigns comes out. To a lot of boos. I really like how he portrayed himself here. He seems to almost enjoy the boos at this point. He says, you know, I'm not a bad guy, and then I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy. And then talked about beating Triple H. I thought this was a good promo from him finally. And he kind of started to turn a bit. And anyway, he says, you know, anyone who wants the title can come to the ring. So we get Jericho coming out first. And Jericho absolutely rips the crowd. However, he first ripped Reigns, which is pretty much an immediate way to get cheered. So no matter what Jericho said, he was getting cheered for the rest of the segment. And then Jericho talks about beating Styles and telling Reigns to put him at the head of the line. Then Styles comes out.
Why to Jackass?
The second AJ gets into the ring... Owens music hits, and Owens, by the way, got like probably the loudest pop of the night. His was deafening, which surprised me. And anyway, Owens starts talking trash to Reigns without a mic, might I add. And then, so of course, Sami Zayn comes in, and yeah, they start fighting. And in the end, what we get out of this is
it's a fatal four-way match for number one contendership.
Yeah,
and AJ wins it.
In the end, yeah, we had
and honestly, seriously, like this is, like, see, this is the thing, and we've talked about this with with Roman and Triple H and this whole direction of putting the belt on Triple H because of blah, 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 whatever the hell. This is why I now am glad that that match happened at WrestleMania to get Roman a win so then he could have an open season opponent like AJ Styles or like Chris Jericho or like Sami Zayn. Just allow Roman to defend. They say they want a fighting champion. Roman can pretty well fucking fight, so let him fight. Let him defend. If he loses, he loses. Whatever, but at least give him the opportunity to work it out. Yeah, so absolutely. Can we talk briefly about The Miz? This wasn't WrestleMania. This was on Raw, right?
Yeah, we mentioned it earlier. Miz beats...
Oh, okay.
Miz, with the help of his wife, beats... beats Zack Ryder for the title.
Yeah, so we mentioned this earlier. Now, Miz wins. Now, I have not seen Maurice, and I don't even know how long, and I didn't even know the two of them were married to each other. I'm like, oh my God, what is she doing there?
No, they're married, and she interfered.
Yeah. All right, anything else you want to say before we get out of here, Mike?
Well, I kind of liked how Zack Ryder's dad threw The Miz back. I thought that was kind of funny. ultimately, WrestleMania for me, it was like a 3 out of 5. There were some really cool moments and some other kind of middling moments. Now, here's a question. Which one was more entertaining, this year's or last year's?
Last year's.
Since I barely remember last year, I'm going to say this year.
Wow. No, I like
the women's match really upped it for me and the Intercontinental for me.
Yeah. That helped a lot, but last year we had good ones too. Remember Daniel Bryan won in a ladder match last year, which was enjoyable. You had Cena taking the U.S. title in a separate match. And then
Royale was better.
Yeah, the big surprise was Seth Rollins cashing in.
Yeah,
that's true.
And I thought there was no moment like that in this one. There sure as hell wasn't in the title match.
Yeah.
And so...
You couldn't have a cash-in.
No, that's because they used Reigns, because they used Sheamus earlier on in the year to save us from Reigns holding the title for long. And then... Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess... Sorry, dying.
As you die.
In conclusion, I don't know. I'm not excited for a lot of the things that I'm seeing outside of the women's stuff.
What's next? Payback?
I think so, yeah.
Yes.
It'd be Payback, then potentially Elimination Chamber if they ever do it again, and then Money in the Bank.
Oh, Lord. All right, so that's going to kind of do it for us folks for WrestleMania 32. Depending on how the next few pay-per-views go, we may combine... Because I remember last year we combined... what was it?
We should do a show focused purely on NXT.
NXT, yeah. I have to watch...
TakeOver
was
amazing. I'd
have to watch a lot of it first, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe we'll talk about that maybe towards the end of the month. We'll sit down, watch a couple NXTs and see what we all think. Because I know Ryan's the expert. Yeah. I'm stuck to get into it because I'm Enzo and Cass and Asuka. So, I'm down for that.
All right. We will catch you next time here on Mayhem Mike's on the Geekcast Radio Network and This Week in Geek.
Boss.
Or these two inbred Duck Dynasty bitches, but one way or the other, somebody is getting their monkey ass kicked all over Dallas.
Are you kidding me? Rocks gonna hit Rocks! Oh, yes. He's ready!
Oh my God!
The Bravo Bulls Rocks! And the elbow pad! We're gonna have Rock in a match here tonight at WrestleMania!
Oh boy!
Listen to this place! Rock and Rowan!
and he's going to set records.
Ladies and gentlemen, your winner in 6 seconds, The Rock!
John, that's a WrestleMania record. The Rock said he's going to come set records. Yeah, that was real fast. The Rock disposes of Eric Rowan in 6 seconds.
Well, I don't think the Wyatt family's done with The Rock.
No, they're not.
Oh, no. Bray Wyatt, Eric Rowan, Braun Strowman surrounding the Brahma Bull. Wait a minute! Are you kidding me? There's no way! He's here!
What?
John Cena!
What?
He's here! It wouldn't be WrestleMania without Cena!
It wouldn't be WrestleMania without you.
John, we didn't expect him for months!
We didn't even know that he would be cleared to get back in!
Well, John Cena's here! Cena and Rock, part of two of the greatest WrestleMania main events in history!
Two of the greatest of all times! Hey, that's one half of Sports Entertainment's Mount Rushmore right there!
Cena and Rock, side by side! And going after the Wyatt family! Here's Strowman, takes a right, and a right from Cena! And Rock and Cena going after Strowman! Rock bottom to the big man! Rowan going for the ride! You gotta give him the five knuckle shuffle!
He may not see him, but he'll feel this!
And now Rowan going up!
There you go!
Strowman knocked off the apron. Bray Wyatt looking for Sister Abigail. Rock with the right hand.
Oh, discus punch.
Spinebuster. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
For the most electrifying move in entertainment.
By the most electrifying man,
it's Sports
Entertainment history.
Welcome back. If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
What an iconic moment at WrestleMania. Those two men went head-to-head in two of the greatest main events in the history of WrestleMania, back-to-back years. And tonight, they stand shoulder-to-shoulder to dispatch the Wyatt family.
Unbelievable.